I wonder, what's the most fantastic Christmas gift you ever opened on Christmas Day? Can you remember? I remember as a young boy going out to the garage at my family home, and there, you know, kind of covered in a blue tarpaulin, I opened it up, and there was a motorized go-kart that my dad had built from hard rubbish sale collections around the neighbourhood. No one else in the world had a machine like this. It could do 25 kilometres an hour, and that was just through the driveway and around the backyard. No one else had it. It was the most fantastic gift I ever opened in my life, and I knew, unlike any kid in the neighbourhood, I was especially loved. What was the best gift you ever opened? Paul Ron Weasley, in our Harry Potter video, of course, he got a lovely Christmas sweater from his mum, and he had to like it, but many people in the Northern Hemisphere this Christmas will receive something even more ugly than Ron's beautiful sweater. Far more ugly, and of course it fits our theme this year better than a sweater. Maybe something like this would arrive if you were living in Finland, or where my son is living, in London. And there are sweaters like this. It's just a craze across the world. It's been going for more than 2 years now that these sweaters are prolific. There's something for everybody. Star Wars fans, Doctor Who fans, even in the bottom right there, those who love the series called Stranger Things, they get a gig too in these amazing sweaters. You can be a fan of politics and you can get a sweater that suits you. Let's make Christmas great again. And even Jesus freaks get a go. So, you know, imagine wearing this Christmas Day, Hannah, as you lead the carol service. What do you think? I think it would be wonderful. At St. Michael's this Advent season, Better Than a Sweater is our title, because, in fact, it's the surpassing greatness of the gifts of God to us in Jesus Christ that we wish for you and your friends and family this Christmas. And we've highlighted for you these gifts, and in the foyer you can practice some of your good wishes and prayers, and I'll talk more about that in a few minutes. But what could be more important to begin with in this Advent series than the gift of love? The Bible tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life." Heard that somewhere before? John 3:16. And I was recently in London walking along the pathway along the Thames, and it struck me again seeing this amazing piece of sculpture called Cleopatra's Needle. Some of you will have seen it. Constructed 3,500 years ago, originally a gift to an Egyptian pharaoh, now watching over, since the 1800s, watching over London's famous river. But did you know that at its base there is a time capsule, a 19th century time capsule, that's buried beneath Cleopatra's Needle? Some of the items that will be discovered by future civilizations when they dig deep beneath Cleopatra's Needle will find within the box such things as 19th century children's toys, a city directory of London at that time, photographs from that century. There's even a man's razor, a blade razor. There's a full set of English currency and coins from that period. And guess what else is in there? John 3:16, written down in 215 different languages for a future civilization to open and ask what was important to the people of the city of London. Max Licardo writes, "This is a 26-word parade of hope, beginning with God and ending with life, and urging us to do the same. Brief enough," he says, "to write on a napkin, solid enough to weather 2,000 years of storms and questions. This one verse of the Bible can be broken into four simple headings: God loves, God gave, we believe, we live." It's a verse easily simplified, yet equally profound and sufficient for leading someone to a lively faith in our God. The reformer Martin Luther called it the gospel in miniature. He also wrote, "These words are weighty, precious, and comforting beyond all measure." Some people call John 3:16 the golden text of the scriptures. And Mac Powell, who's the leader of a band called Third Day, we do some of their songs at the 5:30 service here, he said, John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. It shares God's great love for us and our great need for God. God so loved the world. While there's much to study from this one verse of the Bible, consider today God's love for you. And what a great love it is. And the English translation raises two questions for us in its slight ambiguity. God so loved. How much did God love us is the first question it raises. And how did God love us? Both these questions are answered sufficiently for us in the surrounding verses of chapter 3 of John's Gospel, but also answered extensively in other parts of the Bible. How much did God love us, and how does God love us? For example, in 1 John chapter 4, the verses read like a direct answer to those very questions. God's love, it says, was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Perhaps you know the story, the ant and the grasshopper. The story goes that a mother of a 9-year-old girl named Mary received a phone call in the middle of the afternoon. You mums and dads will know that always means trouble, a phone call from the school in the middle of the afternoon. The teacher said to this little girl's mother, "Your daughter did something that surprised me so much today that I thought you should know about it immediately." And Mary's mother began to grow even more worried. The teacher continued, "Nothing like this," she said, "has happened in all my years of teaching. This morning I was teaching a lesson on creative writing, and as I always do, I tell the story of the ant and the grasshopper. You know how it goes? The ant works hard all summer and stores up plenty of food, but the grasshopper plays all summer and does no work at all. Then winter comes, and the grasshopper begins to starve because he has no food. So he begins to beg, 'Please, Mr. Ant, you have so much food, please let me eat too.' And then I say to the boys and girls, 'Your job is to write the ending to this story.'" "Well, your daughter, Mrs. Smith," said the teacher, she raised her hand at this point and she said, "Teacher, may I draw a picture?" "Well, yes, Mary, if you like, you may draw a picture, but first you too must write the ending to the story." "Now, as in all the years past," said the teacher, "most of the students said that the ant shared his food through the winter and both the ant and the grasshopper lived. There were, of course, a few children," she said, "who wrote, 'No, Mr. Grasshopper, you should have worked in the summer. Now I only have enough food for myself.' So the ant lived and the grasshopper died." Got to watch those children. "But your daughter," said the teacher, "unlike any other student, finished the story in a way different from any other child I have ever taught. She wrote, 'So the ant gave all his food to the grasshopper. The grasshopper lived through winter, but the ant died.' And the picture? At the bottom of the page, your daughter Mary drew the symbol of the cross." God's love is radical, surprising, out of the ordinary, even if we think about it, somewhat disturbing. that he would send his one and only Son to die that we might live. The ant in Mary's story is a little like Jesus, but not nearly as extraordinary as that which is told to us in the Gospel. The Christmas story leads to the Easter event. Jesus gives up everything out of love. He once told his followers, as I'm sure you're aware, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. More than the ant, Jesus' gift of life was not merely for temporary relief, but the Gospel tells us it offers us a lasting bond with the living God. The famous evangelist Billy Graham once said, "When we speak of the cross of Christ, his death for us is planned by love, provided by love, given by love, finished by love, necessitated by love. When we speak of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we speak of the miracle of love. When we speak of the return of Christ, we speak of the fulfillment of love." The gift of God is far better than a sweater. The gift of God's love is something you would delight with a bigger wow than Ron Weasley if you understood its significance. The Bible tells us how much God loves you. It also tells us how God loves you through Jesus' sacrificial death. Then the Bible invites you to receive God's gift, to open the box by believing in his name, all that he promised and lived and died for. It calls us to welcome God's love. We receive as we believe. We then live a new life with God's love. Remember the notes Harry Potter received in the video clip that we saw on that Christmas morning so long ago? Do you remember those first movies and stories in the Harry Potter series? He had no way of knowing that Professor Dumbledore was the one who loved and cared for him enough to pass on this gift. Sorry for the spoiler alert for those of you who are way behind. But there is no such mystery for us, is there, on Christmas Day, nor for the whole world, on who is the giver of the gift of God's love. Jesus is actually your assurance that God loves you. People ask you, is God a God of vengeance? Is God an angry God? He said, well, Jesus is my assurance that God loves you and me. And it's the love that God has had from of old. Psalm 103, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. It's not a momentary, temporary love, but leads us to eternity. Max Lucado wrote a book called 3:16. And he says this: if God had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. If God had a wallet, your photo would be in it. God sends you flowers every spring and a sunrise every morning. Whenever you want to talk to God, God will listen. God can live anywhere in the universe or beyond it, yet God chooses your heart. This Christmas, say wow to the gift of God's love.